Yes, thank you. We definitely can. I think that light is light wherever it goes. And we represent the Lord wherever we go. Yes. That is a very good point. And we need to be willing to do that, I think, is a huge point. Even if it makes a part of us uncomfortable sometimes. Let's move on to us. So when we're having a hard time, how many of you guys, by show of hands, have had a hard time in the past month? Yes. When we are having hard times, trials will come. That promise in the Bible. Nobody, you know, sticks that on the refrigerator, quotes that every day. But when we're having a hard time, because we will, are we quick to speak the truth? This is something that I find in my life quite often, that I don't think of it as a first resort sometimes. If I'm sick, I don't naturally think, wow, well, the Lord is my healer. Like, I should just pray and I can be done with this. You know, my natural instinct in the past has been to go lay down, go sleep, because if I'm unconscious, it won't hurt as bad. Or, you know, go take 2 Tylenol. Maybe when I wake up, the fever will have broken and, you know, I'll be on my way to being better. You know, and so a couple weeks ago, I was really sick and I was, it was awful. I was like, oh, I'm dying. And I went through the entire day just miserable. I don't know what my problem was, but just miserable. And it was about 3 a.m., and I was not sleeping, and I was tossing and turning, and I was like, oh, I just want to sleep, you know? And I was just like, wait a second. I was like, God, I'm really sick, and I'm really tired, and I'm miserable. I'm like, could you just heal me? Because I'm tired, you know? And my prayer was not this, like, amazing thing. It was literally that weird. it was just like, bleh, like, I'm done with this. Can you do something? But my thing is, 3 a.m., it took me that long to think about truth. Like, what was that about, you know? But anyway, I just want to say, like, I said that, and that's the last thing I remember until I woke up the next morning. And when I woke up, I was fine. And it's the thing is, like, you ask, but sometimes you have not because you ask not. And I think I need to definitely get in the habit of bringing that up faster than it has been coming up naturally to me in the past. Fact and truth are 2 different things. How many of you guys know this? Yes? Yes. Awesome. So, somebody, what is a fact? Just shout it out. Something that's proven, yes. It's what life says to us. It's circumstances bound by natural law. Fact, gravity. If I drop my Bible, it's going to fall and it's going to hit the floor, right? That is the fact. Okay, truth. Tell me what truth is. Somebody? Anybody? Yes? No? Truth, among many things, truth is a person. It's not bound by natural law. God defines truth. God is truth. And sometimes I think we need to understand that God is outside of circumstances. He's far removed from circumstances and situations. And on top of that, he's far more powerful to deal with any and all circumstances and situations. And so, fact is, yes, I was sick. I'm not going to deny the fact that I was sick. You know, you're sick? Okay, you're sick. Truth is, I have a God who heals. You know? And so, yeah, we have a fact. That's fine. But we have a truth, which is greater than the facts. So that's what I should be standing on. And that's what I should be confessing out of my mouth. One of the speakers that I love to listen to, his name is Howard Morgan. And he always says, you always need to listen to where people place their butts, like B-U-T. You know how people say, I know the Lord will provide, but da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's after the but is what people really believe. And we need to be people who place that properly in our sentences. You know I'm sick, but the Lord said he is a healer, you know, and I can ask and he will heal me. You know, we need to place those in the right order. And that's very important. So we need to use truth out of our mouths for counsel and encouragement, even if it's your own self. Like, if you are having a problem, you need to speak to yourself and encourage yourself with truth. If other people are having a problem, you need to encourage them with truth. David is a great example of that. You think of David and you think of man after God's own heart, and he was awesome, and he was a king, and he got anointed to be king at a very young age, and he defeated Goliath, and he was, you know, he had the people singing in the streets, you know, how awesome he was, and he got to marry Saul's daughter and all this stuff, you know. But in reality, think about David's life. How many years did he spend running and hiding in the wilderness? And you think about it, the whole army was after him. One man, they had people chasing him all around the countryside for years. I would get sick of that after 2 days, like years. And he's living in a cave. I don't know what he's eating or drinking or what's happening, you know. And you see his reflections in the psalm. That's kind of like his journal. And you see this in his life. And you'd think a man like that, who's been promised, you know, by God, he's been anointed king. He married the daughter of Saul, and then all of a sudden, like, the table turns, and he's running from Saul, his, you know, father-in-law, is trying to kill him for years. So this goes on for years. People won't take him in. People won't hide him. People aren't helping him. There's very few people who are on his side. And you think about a man like this. How often do you think he had to speak truth to himself? How often do you think he had to remind himself, above and beyond circumstances, who the Lord is and what truth was? How often do you think? Like, every day, hourly, yes. And you see in the Psalms where he talks to himself. He's like, why are you downcast, O my spirit? Now, I've been told if you speak to yourself, they can actually turn you in, or, you know. And I was told by my manager, because I talked to myself, she's like, you know, I could turn you in for that. I'm like, well, whatever. And she's like, do you answer yourself too? I'm like, yes, I do. And it's whatever. You know, like, it's if somebody's not here to help me speak truth over my life, I'll do it myself. You know, that's fine. And so we need to be the people who, when we're having issues, like, even when it's something simple, we talked about in the C20s a couple weeks ago about worship. Sometimes you come in Sunday morning, and worship's the farthest thing from your mind. You're tired, the baby's squalling, you got to church late, you have a stain on your shirt maybe is wrinkled, you're flustered, whatever, you're tired, you come into worship and you're like, yes, I got nothing. You know, you don't feel any tingly, holy anointing, and and the music's playing and you're just standing there, you're just like, I really don't feel like doing this, you know. I'll just speak for myself, I have those feelings, okay, I have those feelings and I've had them many times. And the best thing to do is to speak to yourself, speak to your soul. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in the Lord, for I will yet praise him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So now you remind yourself, what is it the Lord has blessed you with? Be people who are thankful. And the message, it says, be thankful and say so. The Message translation. And that takes coming out of your mouth and saying so. You have to remind yourself these things, because life can easily take you from a level 10 to a level 5 in like 2 seconds. Have you ever had that? You're having like a great day and you're like strolling down and there's the rainbow and the music and everything, and then all of a sudden just somebody just comes and rains on your parade and you're just like, wow, thank you. I was having a great day until you just said that, you know. Now I'm gonna go cry, you know. We've all had these days. I mean, at least I have, you know. Some days when I was working, I was just like, wow, I need to go sit in the back room now. You know, somebody just yelled at me about flour. I'm like, it's flour. Take the flour. Make your bread. Nobody cares. You know, like, goodness. You know, but you have to encourage yourself, remind yourself of truth, and be able to speak that to yourself. I won't say that. Never mind. It says, let's all turn to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 11. And this is how we overcome. Revelation 12, verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Okay, what I want to focus on in that verse is They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Okay? I believe that that can be broken down into they overcame by their words, by their mouth, their proclamation, and by his grace. His grace has given us many things. He gives us what we don't deserve. His mercy has compelled him, has caused him to move on our behalf and to make way for us when there was no way. Our words are our declaration, our agreement, coming into agreement with what he's done. And so often I feel like we have grace, but our testimony is not there. Joyce Myers always says, if the Lord has done one thing for you, so you have a plus one on the scale, and then you go and you speak negatively, you're going to always be at zero. You're going to always have zero power, zero effect in your life until you start getting on the Lord's side and speaking positively, aligning yourself with truth and what he says. You're going to stay at zero. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't like zero. I like to win. So just being honest. So often I think that, you know, one of my favorite hymns of all time is "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." It so often depends on our perspective, what is important. And the good thing is we can change our perspective pretty quick if we decide to, if we realize, hey, you know what, it's not quite aligned with truth, what the Lord said. Why don't I go ahead, shift that, turn my eyes upon Jesus, encourage myself in the word and in truth, and see how my situation changes. Things that, you know, were so important just don't seem that important anymore, or they work out mysteriously, which is crazy, odd, and awesome. Beholding, becoming principle. Have you guys ever heard of that? Show of hands. The beholding, becoming principle. Yes, no. What you behold is what you become. What you set your eyes on, what you fix your eyes on is what you become like. So as we turn our eyes upon Jesus, we focus on who he is. Soaking yourself in the truth of who our King is. We become more like him. We take on what we become. So often, this also happens, say practically, the people were around. It says in Proverbs that bad company corrupts good morals. If you're around people who are negative all the time, it's gonna rub off on you. Give it time. You know, you think, you know, I've been around them a week, it hasn't rubbed off on me. Okay, but if you stay with them for years, if you make them your lifelong buddies, it's going to rub off on you. And so we just need to be careful, even practically, what we're allowing in our lives. And even sometimes we need to be careful who we're allowing to speak over our lives. You know, there's some people who don't speak well over your life, who we learned this weekend, who, you know, actually pronounce curses over you, pronounce things that are not of God over you. And just be careful not to, like, let yourself just sit under them. You know, just stay there. Like, I will let you speak negatively about me all the time. You know, not okay. So we need to just let truth be in us and position ourselves to be being filled with the Word of God. Now, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So I think it's great to focus on what we put in our hearts, right? Says in Psalm 119 that your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word of God, Psalm 119, by the way, I always call it the I love my Bible chapter. First Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, right? Psalm 119 to me is the I love my Bible chapter. It just talks so much about how he's going to value and treasure the word of God, how that's what he wants. This is what he's asking for. And I always found it, little side note, so amazing that a king, you know, David, the other half of his life, probably the better half of his life, had so many things. He lived in a palace. He had so many things. I'm not really thinking that he was in want of a whole lot. But he states, one thing that I would ask is to dwell in your house. And to think that people who have treasure know what the real treasure is, makes me think I can just skip the step and just focus on the real treasure, you know? For a king to say that, you got to know it's true. Like, the dude wasn't just trying to comfort himself because he didn't have money. He was really believing that. That's truth. So out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. So what we put in our heart is so important. Now, there are people who I admire personally who have committed their lives to studying the word and hiding it in their heart. One of these people is Jim Caseman. I don't know how many of you guys were here when he spoke, but this man, we have the privilege of, in the ITC classes, of having him teach us many different classes. This man, I just feel like he's like audio Bible. You'll be speaking of a subject, and he'll just be like, and you know it's the Bible coming out of him. It's like three-fourths of what he says is just the Bible, 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 Bible. He's like, that's a good person to be around. That's a good person just to sit next to, you know. Let him, you know, just think how much word you would intake being around someone like that. And he just speaks and speaks and speaks, and I'm impressed with how much is in his heart, you know. And I know that is over years of committed study. I think sometimes there's people who either get into condemnation about that, well, like, they compare themselves, like, oh, I'm not like that, so now I have to go and sit in my room for 12 hours and read the Bible and hope that I become like that, you know, in one day. Or some people who, like me, have a little bit of a competitive nature, so when they see something, they like to win, and they're like, must do now. But just knowing that that's a years of committed service to studying the Bible, studying the Word of God, Jim Caseman has, and I admire his dedication to the Word of God, and it stirs me to do the same. It stirs me to make that daily goal of hiding God's Word in my heart and of meditating on God's Word. Another person who I admire for being full of the Word of God is a friend that I made down in Teen Mania when I was down in Texas for 3 years. My first year that I got there, I was tired, I was windblown, it was hot, and they, like, all of a sudden threw me in this room with 20 other people. And they're like, this is going to be your family for the next year. Yay! And I was just like, I'm tired. Go to bed and meet the family later. And I was not very social at all. And so they start breaking us into small groups. And they're like, these are the people you're going to be working with. And so they break me off into this group that I would describe as dysfunctional. So there was me, the only girl, and I was, at that point, I was not willing to be social, or joyful. I was just kind of like, say what you need to say so I can go home. I just want to get it done, you know. There was, scratch that, this was second semester. First semester was just as crazy. Second semester was me, Joel. Joel is an awesome man of God. He's a little bit sanguine. Does anybody know what that means? He just loves people, and that's awesome. That's a gift. It really is. But because he loves people, and he's so just, you know, anywhere there's people, he has to be involved in that conversation. He's a little bit scatterbrained, and for me, I'm like, I just like to focus and get it done, get my job done. I don't want to be over there visiting and then over here visiting. I'm like, if we're going to vacuum, let's vacuum, you know? And so there's Joel, and there was Stefan, who was from South Africa. And when I met him, I could not understand him. His accent was so thick. And because I was black, he automatically just treated me like I should know what he's talking about. And I was like, surprise! I grew up with Norwegians and stuff, so I don't know what you're saying. And so because of this, we would kind of get into these bad communication rifts where he would be angry at me, frustrated at me for not understanding him. I'd be frustrated at him for assuming I would. And so we would have this bad communication skills. I was just frustrated. Was like, dude, just wipe the windows. Like, he's talking in his accent, and I'm like, what? Like, what are you? I'm sick of saying what, you know? So I'm just going to go clean the girls' bathroom by myself, and I'll check on you later. By the way, if you haven't gotten it yet, I was in custodial. That's where I worked the first year. We were in charge of the administration building, cleaning the entire administration building. And then there was Ken. Ken was our leader, and he was also the one who self-determined to be my best friend. And I did not want him to be my best friend. I was just like, this guy could leave, and I would be okay with that. I did not want him to be my best friend. I didn't want to talk to him. I was actually very mean to him. I don't know how he thought I was amazing. But he would, every morning, he had this ragtag team, all of us, and he was in charge of focusing us, getting us started on our schedule every day. And we went to work at 6:30 in the morning because we had to mop before everybody got there. Otherwise, what's the point of mopping? And so this is the way our dysfunctional team worked. Every morning, I'd wake up at 5, I would get ready for the day, and I'd go, and I'd sit down at the couch at 6:30 in the administration building, and I would sit there for 5 minutes, and then I would realize, they're not coming, are they? Yeah, they were sleeping in their bed at 6:30 in the morning, and I was like, wow, you're supposed to be at work. So I would call Ken, I'd be like, Ken, what are you doing? He's like, oh, hey. I'm like, yeah, I just woke you up, didn't I? He's like, yeah, I'll be there in a minute. Okay, so he would drive, go get the guys, wake them up. They'd all drive, and maybe we'd all get here by 7. So this is the way this my team worked for, like, the whole entire spring semester. It stressed me out. But the only thing about Ken, so I was in a bad mood by the time they got there. I like to be on time, and I like to get to work. I like to do my work, and I like to be punctual and focused and da-da-da-da, and that's not how it was rolling. And so I was frustrated every day that they got there. I was frustrated at them. I was mad at them. I was just, like, all the time grumbling and complaining. And so he would sit down, and he wants to sit all of us down at 7 and read the Bible to us. And I'm like, you are already a half hour late for work. I do not want you reading the Bible to me. I want you to get in the closet and get the mop. You know, like, come on, friend. You're the supervisor. Moving along. And so, but I would humor him. I would try to put on a smile and not grumble too much. And so Stefan and Joel would actually lay down on the couch and actually sleep while he read the Bible to us. Sleep! I was like, oh my gosh. And I would sit there and I felt bad that they were sleeping. So I was like, well, okay, I'll pay extra good attention so that he won't feel completely ignored. So I'd sit there and I'd be like, yeah, yeah. And he would just read his Bible. And Ken is someone who loves his Bible. Like, he is just so all about it. He's like, I just love this verse. Oh, did you hear that? Like, oh my gosh. And he would read it again and again and again. He just loved it. He was just in the place where he had so much revelation and light and insight into the Bible. And I, because I was in a bad mood, I did not harness my feelings well. And it turned into envy. I was like, man, he's late and he's happy. And on top of that, he loves his Bible. Like, I want to love my Bible, and I do not love my Bible. I was in a dry season where I was like, reading the Bible was hard for me. I actually got put on growth plan because I wasn't reading my Bible enough or something. It was something off weird like that. And so I was very jealous of him. I was like, man, he just loves his Bible. I want to be like him. Yet, you know, I was annoyed with him. You know, I was like, ugh, he loves his Bible, and he's happy, and but anyway, Ken taught me so much about loving my Bible through those annoying times. In hindsight, he taught me a lot. And he is someone who's so full of the Word of God. When I talk to him, it's like he'll just randomly just blah, 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 just, oh, wow, did you just memorize that today? You know, like, wow. He is so full of the Word of God, and it's someone I just fully admire for that. And the point of all of that being is, let's be people who commit ourselves to being full of the Word of God and to be being filled. I don't think it's something that happens once and you're done. I think it is a daily commitment to decide, today I'm going to meditate on God's Word. Today I'm going to speak God's Word in truth over my life and situations that come up. Today, maybe you read the Psalm of the day. Maybe you read the Proverbs of the day. Maybe you just read whatever you want to read, Job, whatever encourages you. Just to be people who desire to be being filled with the Word of God. It's a daily thing. And also, I just want to put a side note that this isn't something we should get in condemnation over or legalism over. Sometimes I think people are like, okay, I need to be filled with the Word of God, so I'm going to make the schedule, and if I don't get my check marks every day for reading this whole 365-day Bible plan, then I feel condemned, you know. And I think there's a difference between honestly seeking to read, to let the Lord illuminate to you what he's saying, and reading and being legalistic and being stressed out and being condemned when maybe you don't get around to it. And so I think there's a balance in that, but I think we need to press for that goal either way. Okay, I don't really know. So, all right, we are on the final stretch here. So my encouragement to all of us is, let's just wake up in the morning, let's live throughout our day, being people who are noted for speaking truth and for to ourselves and to others. Sometimes, if people are in darkness and you shine a flashlight in their eyes, their first reaction is not nice. You know, they're like, "Oh, dang, why did you do that?" You know, like that might be how they react to you when you speak truth to them. Sometimes, when they're in darkness, sometimes at first it feels to them a little bit sudden, maybe a little bit painful. But still, I would say, like, don't be the person who's like, "I'll just let them be constantly be spoken over by lies and stuff like that." Be the person who's willing to be that light in their life and to shine that light, even if at first it might not be the greatest reaction. You know, that's okay. I just wanted to speak a little bit about what I do when I feel like I don't really have anything good to say. There are some days where I wake up and I'm trying to think of something to say, to be thankful for, because I wake up and I'm not super happy. And I'm like, "God, there's got to be something. Like, let me think. And this is where I want to bring it back to My King Is. When all else fails, when you need to encourage your spirit, you're not exactly sure what to say, just remind yourself of who the Lord is. Start off that sentence, "My King is." And then you can go ahead and fill in the blank. It always encourages my spirit just to remind myself of who the Lord is. You know, you can start, "My King is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. My King is the same yesterday, today, and forever." It says in the Psalms that he holds the waters together as in a vessel. It says that he's the victor. He's the one at the end who's going to be standing alone, winner. He was the only one worthy to be that amazing sacrifice for me. He's the one who rejoices over me with singing and with dancing. He's my guide and he's my counselor. My God is wisdom. My God gives to us liberally when we ask of him. My God will lead me and in the way of righteousness for his name's sake. We just continue to speak of who God is, and it encourages and it uplifts our spirits. And we're going to play a video here in a minute if you guys want to get that ready. And this video is by, you got it? Okay. It's called "My King Is." And it just goes through and just speaks some truths about who the Lord is. And we're going to listen to this and then I'll come up and close. But just let it be encouraging to your spirit, just to remember. Sometimes, like I said, maybe not so much of who we are or who we're not, or what we have or what we don't have, but more so of who our King is, what he has. And let that be encouraging to our spirits. And like I said, when all else fails, this is what I resort to. When all else fails, I don't know what else to say. Just speak good about your Lord, and it encourages your spirit in any and all situations.